have a couple of hopes for this talk. One is that after hearing about the difficulties of starting up a new system, that you'll feel better about your current place. And the second is that you'll get a unique view of farm research starting from a very early point. So if nothing else, you'll get that value. I had really hoped to have some sort of firm plans for you by this point, and I guess one of the advantages of the fact that Chatham is run as a small monarchy by somebody who doesn't mow her own lawn is that she's been real slow about making decisions about what to do, and so we're kind of grateful for that. But I'll tell you a little bit about Chatham first. So Chatham is historically a women's college, began in 1869. It has a 30-acre urban Pittsburgh campus, which is designated as an arboretum, but it is landlocked by houses. And so one of the driving forces behind our developing as a campus and acquiring new property is the fact that the neighbors decreed that we would have no new parking spaces. It's half undergrad and pretty strong in the sciences, a campus of about 2,000 students. We do have a landscape architecture program and some occupational and physical therapy, but as a weed scientist, I am fairly alone there at Chatham, and so we don't have any agricultural sciences. Our singular famous alum is Rachel Carson. She graduated in the 20s, and partly because of Rachel Carson's legacy at Chatham, we have designated organic landscaping, which, as you'll see, has impacts on how we at least begin managing the farm as well. Eden Hall Farm is a new gift to Chatham. It was given by the Eden Hall Foundation, which was founded from the basis of a donor, Sebastian Mueller, who was Heinz's cousin. So if any of you have toured Heinz, you can see the Heinz 57 tower across the river from us here. It was used as a farm retreat for Heinz factory women, and so when Pittsburgh was known as hell with the lid off, this was the place where people could go and have a weekend retreat in the country, and it was considered good for their souls, just as now we have Richard Louv to tell us that we all have nature deficit disorder, which is certainly true at some level. They had the assets of the farm included bicycles, horses, woodlands, and a lodge, which holds about 30 people. We've been given 388 acres, which is almost the whole of what it was before. It's about half woods and about 100 acres arable. I'll show a soil overhead map in a minute, and you'll be able to see some of the woods a bit. We were given it June 1st of 2008, including barns, buildings, a greenhouse, and a cat, but no tractor. It is 45 minutes from our main campus. So in stage one, we are trying to just plan, and of course the first stage is talking, because talk is cheap. So what we notice is that it's a farm, and so they should call in the ag and environmental faculty. And I confess that when I first heard about the announcement that Chatham had been given a farm, my reaction was unprintable. So we had to look at what skills we have as a college and what skills can we bring to this. And so one of the first actions I did and worked with a guy, Nathaniel Duino, who works here in an organization called Steel City Biofuels. We met with people from Penn State, including Heather Karsten, some people from Steel City Biofuels, and Sustainable Ag Representative Greg Boulos from the Pennsylvania Association for Sustainable Agriculture is now has an office out at Eden Hall Farm, so he's one of our first major collaborators. So that meeting went well, and we talked about a number of ideas, but of course it was note that it was a meeting of Aggies. So we then have engaged in a skills and resources assessment, and that includes looking at things like the old orchard, which exists there, what some of the skills. I put my own book because I have to, but also because this is one of the few ag-related skills on campus. But then we looked more broadly at sort of what do people bring in formally in their backgrounds. Several faculty have experience with chickens, with horses. Our vice president for academic affairs actually castrated her own sheep. We have plenty of experience with weeds and landscaping, several hikers, mushroom gatherers, and birders. And the farm resources include obviously a number of trees, old fields, many of which used to be agricultural or pasture but are now overgrown, goldenrod and multiflora rose, a lot of birds, of course, an orchard, a population of inbred deer with cleft palates and horn deformities, and probably a bear. We obviously have lots of weeds. We have the land itself, which is another resource, and there is an organic farmer who's a tenant for 100 arable acres that are still in production with him. And we have a lot of history and a greenhouse, and barns. So that's about it. And here's, obviously you can't tell a lot from the soil map, but I thought you all would enjoy seeing the soil map. Obviously I have more complete files, but you get a sense of the property, and you can see from the more heavily bushy looking areas that how much of it is woods. So then we go further and we're trying to identify what's the empty niche that a small women's liberal arts college can take on when we begin. We are not a land grant school, and obviously even though the land grant school has its disadvantage that somebody can cut your budget, at least you have a budget. So we are really starting with zero budget whatsoever, and so we're trying to figure out what a market niche is. And when the rest of you have talked about having entrepreneurial spirit and really needing to apply that to ag experiment stations, we certainly need nothing more than entrepreneurial spirit because our board needs us to make some money quickly on this. And all of you know how rich a commodity and how much cash a farm can generate fast. All right, so we've looked at who are our peers, and by looking at Rodale, of course, you get a biased sample because Rodale would necessarily list a school if they have some sort of interest in farms. So we knew that looking at the database. But looking at the Northeast region, we wanted to see what programs are already available. And so this was a summary of what we found among our peers from Rodale, that, as you would expect, most of them have farms or they wouldn't be in the Rodale database. Most are undergraduate. Makes it more interesting because even though you would expect that a historic women's college would be primarily concerned with undergrads, we have a lot of grad students, so those graduate programs will be of interest to us. The fact that most of the farms in the Northeast are small is obviously of interest because we have a lot of acreage, if nothing else. That many of them self-identify as sustainable or organic, and of course, again, this is the Rodale database. And then what do they do with the food that's produced on that farm? We noticed that there's some empty niches relatively there, that local marketing and restaurant types of contacts are rarer, for example, than eating the food in the dining hall or through a campus CSA. For the first year, what we actually started was a work and pick program because that was what you can do on very little money and lots of interested people. One thing we noticed is that most of these programs are rural or urban, and the fact that even though it is a farm, it's surrounded by suburbs and a lot of Ryan homes and really new subdivisions. This actually makes it a particularly interesting niche because suburban markets are clearly where a lot of the food is eaten and where people maybe one might regard have are less in touch with the need for making sure that their food has a secure source. And then looking at a few of the programs, we noticed that some of the less ag-related programs might actually be the ones where there's more space in the market. And so even though my first impulse would be to start a weed science program, that maybe actually is a niche that's already had some filling in it. So we are looking for gaps, and this is sort of restating what I was just pointing out is what our empty gaps are. The one additional one, though, is that we noticed after looking at this that using our forest and using the pastures that we have, however overgrown they are, is actually a niche that's not been very well used yet. And so if we can find a way to make that niche marketable, I guess the tricky part is that people don't feel quite as passionate about the pasture that their cow was raised on as they do about the cow's grain source, even though if they had more pasture, maybe it would be even more exciting to be eating it. So anyway, forestry and pasture seemed like another open niche for us. The organic certification is still relatively unusual among the Rodale responding campuses, and since we had our decree about organic main campus, that certainly stuck out to us. So what actions could we do in 1 year with very little budget? We began an organic garden. It started out as a spring course with Friday afternoon and spring break student input. It was taught by an English professor and a theater professor because my course schedule was already filled up for the year, and they did a great job. Summer, there was a work and pick program to keep people going out, so included the assistant to the president on down to students of all types, and then there's been a fall course, which we actually are calling a wellness course. Chatham requires that students take 4 wellness courses over their time as undergraduates, and we felt that cleaning the garden and putting it to bed were definitely in the category of wellness and physical activity, so slave labor renamed. The second action that we had was to put in a research plot, and you'll notice that I'm not bragging about this with a picture quite yet, so I'm going to tell you about it for a minute. While the administration is still working on a master plan, they've sort of said the township and the university have prohibited a lot of new ventures from happening, even if they seem small and cheap enough. And so we were given, I was given essentially an acre and a half of research plot, which sounded really exciting to me. And actually, when I was first given it, sounded kind of small. So what are our resources to run this with? A rented mower, which means that the farm manager won't actually let me on it. A rented farmer who will plow it, because we have no plow, no planter, no tractor, and no pesticides, and I had a lawn seeder. And the goal, in my mind, I thought I could manage two things. One was cover crops, and one was demonstration lawns, because I knew that we would at least have a mower of some sort, and so I thought we could look at demonstration no pesticide lawns for the suburbanites living nearby, and the result was weeds. Foxtail, a solid acre and a half of foxtail, and the only gaps in the foxtail were where the deer had laid down on it. So despite my great efforts with oats and switchgrass, and I tried everything but rye because I knew that we might have troubles getting rid of the rye eventually. But so these are the things that we could really use. And when my dean met with me recently to talk about performance for the year, she said, "What can we do for you?" And I said, "A tractor, please. A tractor, just with a little bit of equipment." And I've said it before, but these are some of the weeds I met this summer. And down in the bottom left, you can see my poor, sorry buckwheat that tried to come up through it all. So. But overall, really what our action is in the long run is going to be to try to attract students. Chatham is a tuition-driven university, which is a novelty among the categories that you all are talking about. You're talking about endowed and state lines. As a tuition-driven university, we actually didn't have that much financial crisis this year. We're just always in financial crisis. And so we're looking at different kinds of programs. So right now, the current plan is based largely on two things. We have an open position for a dean of a college of sustainability. And I think our president probably knows about as much about that position as you do at this point. She certainly has some visions for it, but we need somebody to run this farm and to run academic programs there. We have hired Alice Julier, who's in food studies. And so some of you talked about food science, but food studies is more broadly about the culture of food and how it's prepared. And so it would involve both culinary programs and agricultural programs, sort of all unified. One of the great advantages that Chatham has, and I can't overstate this advantage, is that because we're small, there are no silos at Chatham. Having been in grad school at Cornell, where there were wonderful ecologists and wonderful crop scientists and wonderful soil scientists, but none of them actually spoke to each other, I can say that at Chatham, as a department of one, and as many departments of one, that we all speak to each other quite a bit, and so we really know how to interact and how to have good collaboration. We do need some more adjunct courses while we're in the process of hiring more faculty. We have issues of what's the market for this location, what does the local neighborhood really think, and what would they be willing to invest in, and also how do we get there, because 45 minutes is just far enough that you really can't expect to get there and back too much from main campus in one day. And the latest idea from the administration is that we'll actually start with a new campus, obviously not with the idea of developing all 388 acres, but that would then make it a residential farm demonstration campus as opposed to a long distance one. So obviously the next step is money, and we're hoping to hire that dean. There are grants in progress, and so we're certainly hoping to get some of those, although I've been disappointed that none of them involves a tractor yet. A master plan, which would include what are we suited to do. Thank you, perfect. We're almost at the end here. What is the land suited for? And that goes back to our soil map, but we've also worked with people from Carnegie Museums and Powder Mill, which is an ornithological research station nearby, trying to look at what are the actual resources we have. A red pine plantation is obviously standing lumber, whereas an older forest would be something that we would value for its ecosystem services. And we certainly hope that there are answers coming, but not quite yet. And in the meanwhile, we are just enjoying trying to imagine what to do next. So certainly my hope is that in asking me questions that you all can also share ideas. I can't promise that I would be listened to any more than I can thought that I would be listened to before, but I certainly am very interested in what you all think and in getting some ideas. I hope that you can enjoy for a moment having the possibility of imagining what you would do with 388 acres, even if it doesn't have a budget attached yet.
But we would have some money.
You would have some money, right? Right. No, we really don't have any right now. Yeah. Yeah. You would have some money if you had your worldview on this. So, I mean, obviously there's funding source ideas, but that's part of what I'm, you know, it's partly that and partly also just sort of what I know that ag experiment stations don't historically make money. And this is sort of what we're all talking about here. So how does one make money off 388 acres? Yes.
It's now called Truman State University, which is a university where I worked in Kirksville, Missouri. And we had a doctor there that donated a farm to Northeast Missouri State University at that time. And the thing that helped us most was the horse people.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
We that seems to be an industry that people want to be involved in.
And they must have disposable income or they wouldn't be in it in the first place.
Disposable income. The other thing that also helped us a lot, and we probably have with the pasture and everything,
right?
Even though it came from a different state, we had a livestock person that donated 35 head of livestock.
Nice.
To the university for that particular farm. So those are areas and avenues of not only utilization of the farm,
right,
but also possibility of income, in other words, those cows,
right,
could be bred, and calves,
right,
and
right,
and that type of thing.
So sort of a Heifer International kind of a program for university startup.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, how that is here in Pennsylvania, whether you have a major livestock person that would be willing to donate,
right,
livestock to the university to come up with that.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's a good thought. Definitely. Certainly the barns being in place is a good start on that one. So, yeah. Anybody else have questions or suggestions? Yes.
I guess the two things that I was thinking of is one is because you've got all those trees to work in the agroforestry area.
Mm-hmm.
And then also if you could do some selective cuts or some, you know,
right,
it's a clear cut, but, you know, more,
right,
of a managed forest type. And then you use that lumber hopefully to buy some equipment.
Right.
To get you started, if you could work out on something, so even so, a continual basis, maybe one just a one-time deal, or you know, we
mm-hmm.
got to work that out. Maybe they have to do it one time,
right?
Because they wouldn't come back. I don't know, but you've got a resource there. If there's some value to that lumber, you might
definitely some. Yeah.
I wasn't clear on when you were saying what could you do with. Were you thinking of generating revenue or for establishing research? Because they're
it's different goals, right? I wasn't clear verbally, I think probably because I wasn't really drawing a distinction. From my perspective, obviously the goal would be research, because my job depends on publishing. Interestingly, it doesn't depend on getting grants, but obviously from the university perspective, they're not interested in me doing it unless it helps them generate revenue. So
I was thinking, you know, just a small garden plots could do, but now those is a revenue source to support it.
Yeah, right. I don't know what the income level there would be. Possibly. Yeah. Yeah,
what
it's interesting.
What kind of restrictions do you have, or you don't know the answers yet? What kind of restrictions do you have on what you can do to it?
It's not really clear yet because we haven't tried to run anything by the township as a whole master plan. So right now they're sort of controlling us because we haven't got a bigger plan, but I think at some point, we're going to have to figure out the only land we are allowed to build on it. We just have to hold the land for 100 years. So it's long enough that we're obviously not getting rid of this research station, so that's one benefit. But I think one of the reasons why they wanted to give it to Chatham was certainly that they were concerned about suburban encroachment, and so that's one of the things that couldn't happen is we can't sell it off piecemeal, and that was one reason why the foundation was, we were interested in working with the foundation and vice versa, is because we weren't hoping to sell it off. But obviously with the economics changing within the last year, that's not as likely as it would have been a little while ago. So, yeah.
We need to also mention that we are going to visit this farm on Wednesday.
Right, so this is on the tour.
So we'll have an opportunity to not only see what they have here, but also to go out and look at that particular farm and be able to maybe give some ideas after looking at it.
Yes. Thank you for reminding about that. Yes.
Is any of the Penn State centers close by?
There are no Penn State centers close by, and so when we first acquired it, there was some talk of whether we would become sort of whether it might be something of a Penn State satellite type of program. I know Penn State is interested in working with us. Being the small monarchy that we are, sometimes we're accused of not playing well within the larger community, so I'm not sure how well that would work. I think once our mission is more clearly defined, then we could more easily have Penn State come in and help us with some organic research or something like that.
Yeah, see, I can see having that, but then the big thing to be education center for the city of Pittsburgh. Where does your food come from? Come spend a day in the country.
Yes, exactly.
Animals.
Right.
For, you know, vegetables.
Yeah.
Right? The whole thing.
Yeah, sort of whole.
This, but.
Right. No, but I love intuitively. It's a really, I agree, sort of demonstration of sustainable living. Yes, and I think that's part of, yeah, definitely there's that hope. Bill?
You probably need to make the initial contact with the various chemical companies and seed companies, the cows, the pioneers.
Right.
Those types of individuals. And maybe up front say, okay, we really don't need, because like I get a lot of seed and herbicides and that kind of stuff in the field, because we could use that now. But right now, you need dollars to develop.
Right. Good point.
Are they willing to
front it?
Steve did with regards to his endowment funds.
Well, the other opportunity would be if you need equipment, would be to talk to the major equipment companies, because they can give you a $35,000 tractor for $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
They write off $35,000 as a donation, and
okay.
They can write. So that's one thing that we've done as well, and we've also gotten donations of fairly new equipment from growers that, for whatever reason, needed to upgrade or chose to upgrade, and we picked up equipment that way that was sometimes in very good condition, and they had a nice tax donation by running it through our foundation.
Right. Okay.
Any issues about that? We had to get it appraised, and that was about it.
Right. That's a really good thought. Yeah, I like that.
And the other option within A7, we started a program where we looked at we have within the individual experiment stations equipment that we're not using that can be transferred to other experiment stations and this type of thing. So that may be an avenue.
You all got small tractors.
Right. Yeah. That may be.
Yeah.
One of the few things there's an embarrassment of riches. Yeah.
I would just say I transferred. I could put you in touch with someone. We have a station. I'm from Wisconsin on the west side of Madison, and a lady who has taken an urban horticultural program from scratch and really developed it into a nice program. I think
yeah.
she has some tips for you how she did that. But
yeah.
She's brought in some nice grants through variety trials, All-American variety
right.
trials, and just a host of different things she's done there that's really...
Yeah.
And huge field days, as mentioned. Our largest field days come from our urban court field days now, of 1,500, 2,000 people to a field day,
right.
largely from the city.
Right. That would be great. Yeah, she sounds like a really, and especially because we have that existing landscape architecture and focus on sustainable landscape, that would be really good. Yeah.
What's the chances going back to the Heinz Foundation and saying, okay, it's really nice of you to do this, but, and I'm aware of at least one situation where the foundation turned down a farm because it was too small to be, the cost of running it was going to be
right.
more than the return, and it couldn't be sold. The farmer said, if I give it
right.
to you, you've got to keep it. They said, we don't want it.
Right.
Because the cost of running it now, I wonder if you can
going back.
Prepare a budget and say, could you get some partial support for them? Maybe
right.
tried that or something.
I know that Chatham already gets a lot of money from Heinz, which is separate from the foundation that gave us the land in the first place. So Heinz money if one ever notices that Pittsburgh environmental organizations and otherwise all collaborate well together, it's because Heinz makes us. And so Heinz is a very dominant funding source here, definitely already. I don't know how much more would come with this, but I'm sure the administration is well aware of that pot of gold, however it's used. So, yeah, it's a good thought. Well, thank you all very much.
Pittsburgh have what, like, at home, we have what we call a Master Gardeners program.
Yes, there's a pretty active Master Gardener program and run from the local county extension. So I've been in touch with the Mike Masiuk, who's the Allegheny County person. So we've certainly talked about that. And that sort of fit in with the demonstration lawns, but there could be more to it than that, definitely. Well, thank you all so much, and I'd gladly take any ideas that come later, but I really appreciate your attention and listening.